What is this process of dedication? Papa's answer.
Papa, you feel that everything is done by field will and power.
Dedication means first constant remembrance of God. That alone can lead us further. Further, what is to be done is when you are doing any act right from the morning, whether it is to maintain your body or service to some other body, you must be conscious that it is God's power alone He is working for you and you are serving God. That attitude has to be maintained. Then it becomes dedicated service, or it becomes worship itself. That is why they say work is worship. Yes.
You are not doing anything by yourself.
If this attitude is taken, you are not doing anything by yourself. It means the ego is not there for you.
You are an instrument.
You are only an instrument in the hands of God. You have erased the ego completely and made the passage clear within you for God to work through.
God makes you active. Dedication means this.
God makes you active. It is God's power that makes you do all things. This consciousness you maintain, we can say, is dedication to God.
You surrender your ego to God.
You surrender your ego to God. How to surrender? Oh Lord, I am nothing. You are everything. I am not a separate entity from you. Remove this feeling of separation from you so that I may realize your oneness with you. Like that, gradually with your prayer and accepting that God's power is supreme, you hand over the ego to the Lord. That is, you make your ego merge in the universal existence. The ego sense. Actually, there is no ego. It's only ego sense. That ego sense has to be removed. That is to be placed at the feet of the Lord.
Eknath Maharaj was a Grihastha. He dedicated his wife, son, house, all to God.
This is possible for householders also. Eknath Maharaj was an example. Whatever he had dedicated to God, because he did not think that anything belonged to him. His wife belonged to God. His other properties belonged to God. His mother belonged to God. That way, everything belonged to God, and that he possessed nothing.
He took them to be gods and not him.
He took them to be gods. He only had them in possession because God had entrusted him with the responsibility of taking care of them. That was his attitude, and that should be our attitude when we deal with our own relations and possessions. God has given them to us to take care of. We have to take care of them, we have to look after them properly, and when God wants to take them away, give them happily. That should be our attitude.
Ultimately, he saw God in them.
Eknath Maharaj saw God in everything afterwards. Because of the dedication, his mind became so pure, he could see God in everybody.
He lived in the midst of them and remained unaffected.
He lived as a householder in the midst of everything, did his normal activities also. He had constructed many temples, he had a large number of followers, and he was giving discourses. But in spite of all this, he had his family also, but he remained perfectly detached.
This is called Bhagavad Dharma.
This is called Bhagavad Dharma. Lord Krishna has explained about Bhagavad Dharma in the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Sukha asked Lord Krishna, what should be done by the householders? And Lord Krishna said, householders should observe Bhagavata Dharma, that is, to remember Lord constantly, to dedicate all their activities to Him, and to remain detached. This is the best course to be adopted by householders, and this he called Bhagavata Dharma.
Inner renunciation is the important thing.
This requires inner renunciation. That is, to feel that everything belongs to God, nothing is mine. What is outer renunciation? You leave your wife, children and property and go away from the house. That is external renunciation. Even if external renunciation is done, it is possible that the mind has not detached from the wife, house and property. The mind may still cling on to those possessions. So external renunciation is not sufficient. It should be followed by inner renunciation also. But if inner renunciation is there, there is no need for external renunciation. That itself is sufficient to lead you to the supreme goal.
Outside, you move with many, inside there is only one.
When we are perfectly detached and we are following the Bhagavata Dharma, we move with many people. Outside we see many, but inside we know we are dealing with only one, that is Supreme Being, our Lord.
There is a saying by Emerson, a famous philosopher, great man is he who lives in the midst of crowds, enjoying the sweetness of solitude.
This shows that there is no need to go in search of solitude, to enjoy solitude. Great men, it means who are advanced on the path and have learned the technique, can remain or in tune with the silence, that is, enjoy silence even in the midst of the crowd. There is no need for them to go to forest in search of crowds. They may remain active, doing all the things necessary and dealing with all sorts of people, but they may be at the same time enjoying perfect silence. It means they will be in tune with God, the supreme silence in their heart. Their hands and legs may be working, they may be talking, they may be doing something else for others, but at the same time their mind is in tune with the eternal silence within.
Sri Aurobindo says, you cannot find out a man whether he had realized God or not by what he says or does, but only by what he is.
Generally, a question arises in everyone, whether a person has realized God or not. Even so, many devotees ask, when somebody comes here, some saint or some advanced soul comes here, automatically the question arises in them that whether that person has realized God or not. So Sri Aurobindo in this context says, nobody can find out whether the other person has realized or not, except
by what he says or does.
From, but we cannot say whether he has realized God or not from what he says or does, but we can find out from what he is. That is important. He may say so many things. He may talk the highest philosophy. He may also do certain things which can be done only by realized soul. But at the same time, if he has not realized God, we can find it from what he is. Further explanation is there. It means Sri Aurobindo again.
Sri Aurobindo says, you cannot find out a man whether he God or not, by what he says or does, but only by what he is.
What he is, nobody else can find out. Others can see only what he says or what he does. But what he is, it means what he truly is, whether he is in perfect communion with his real self or not, nobody can find out. Only what he is can reveal his true status in life.
Devotee, none alone can know of
none. A devotee asks another question, or rather says that only jnanis can know jnanis.
Papa, even they cannot know sometimes.
Papa says, even jnanis cannot know other jnanis sometimes. Mostly they may be knowing, but not always. But Papa continues to work.
Because in the jnanis vision, there is no duality. And he cannot and does not distinguish.
See, when one has attained jnana, we should first know what is attainment of jnana. He has attained, or rather realized, that he is one with his self, all pervading Brahman. There is only one, there is no duality. He is one with the all pervading reality and at the same time with the entire manifestation. There are no two. So, whenever a saint sees somebody, he sees either that person as manifestation of God or manifestation of his own self. In that case, how can he say whether he has realized God or not, whether he has become a jnani or not? It is one aspect of it. Then again, what purpose?
How are you going to study the inner state of a jnani? By his outer appearance.
This is the
person. Yes.
From what he does outside, we cannot find out his inner condition.
You will never be able to know him.
You will never be able to know whether he is in tune with the infinite existence or not. He may be doing things externally, apparently with perfect attachment, but you cannot gauge the depth of his attainment.
There is a sloka which means, one who has gone beyond all bhavas, what can there be in him?
This sloka which says, one who has gone beyond all bhavas. What do the bhavas mean? All bhavas. What is the purpose?
Papa is referring
to
lakshana. One who has gone beyond all lakshanas, what lakshana can there be in him?
Lakshana,
bhava
is.
What bhava
is?
What can there be in him?
One who has gone beyond everything, what can there be in him? It means lakshana. I am not very clear about that bhava. But there is another thing about knowing the jnani. A jnani can be known by another jnani as not from his external actions, but from the influence he gives, or rather radiates, by his presence. Even others can find out whether he is a advanced soul or realized soul or not. If we go and sit at the feet of a jnani, we will be filled with some sort of unearthly peace and joy. Then we can take it that he is a realized soul. He may be acting like any ordinary man, but unless he has realized God, he will not be able to radiate so much peace and joy outside. But if an ignorant man, or other man who may be a sadhaka but has not realized God, if you sit at his presence, you may not get so much peace and joy radiating from him. That is one way of knowing whether he is a revised soul or not. There are no other ways. As Ramachandra says, jnanis do not develop any extra science to show themselves as jnanis. Even said bluntly, that they do not haunt when they become jnanis. So it is very difficult to recognize whether one is a jnani or not.
What is your opinion about
Jai
Krishna
Bhakti? Before that, there are many devotees who go to saints and cannot recognize them as saints because it is difficult for them to understand whether he is a saint or not. In the case of Siddhartha Swami, once upon a time, that he was in the habit of wearing a small bhaktal around his waist and do some work in the garden. Once a devotee was going to the ashram and this Swami was almost near the road doing some work. That devotee asked that person, who was the Swami himself, where is Swami Siddhartha? Instead of saying that he is Swami, he said, oh, he must be sitting there in the hall. Then he went direct to the hall and was searching for his Swami. Afterwards somebody told him, oh, the Swami is here in the garden working. So that happens. Here also, when some devotees came, Papa was sitting on the cement seat outside. Those perhaps persons thought that Papa would be wearing awkward robes and having a beard and all that. Papa looked like any ordinary person. So they asked Papa, where is Swami Ramdas? I said, Papa, go to the Bhajanavala and see him there. So like that, they went there, they asked, where is Swami Ramdas? I said, now he is sitting there. In front of you, pass, you ask him something, you talk to him. Oh, he didn't say that he was Swami Ramdas. But they don't declare that they are so and so. And it is difficult for them, for others to recognize them easily. Yes.
Papa, Ramdas is not competent to pass any opinion about faith.
About Jai Krishnamurti, question, what do you say about Jai Krishnamurti? Papa doesn't comment on anybody, any saint especially. So he says Ramdas is not in a position to comment or say anything about Jai Krishnamurti.
He can simply bow before them. That is his
way. That is what he does. He does namaskar to all saints with all reverence.
Devotee, what does he
teach? He wants to draw out something from Papa. What does he teach?
Papa, he is against Gurudam. He says Guru is not necessary for an aspirant.
So he wants to draw something from Papa. So make Papa say that Krishnamurti is teaching, emphasize that no external Guru is necessary. One can progress on the path without any guidance from anybody.
By hanging on to a guru, many aspirants are stranded on the spiritual path.
According to Jai Krishnamurti, by hanging on to a guru, many aspirants are strayed away on the spiritual path. They are not getting directed properly. It means they cling on to the body of the guru, personality of the guru. They forget the impersonal aspect of the guru. So their progress is hampered. That is what Krishnamurti opines.
Devotee says, but he poses as a guru.
But he never posed as a guru.
Papa, no. He never says he is a guru.
He never said he was a guru. He said, don't follow me, don't follow my teachings.
Papa,
I am only telling you what should be done. Not that you should follow my teaching, consider me as a guru. You never like to be followed as disciples follow their guru.
Whatever he teaches, many people may accept or discard.
He may talk, but it is for others to accept or discard.
He does not mind.
He is not worried about it.
If you go and listen to his lectures for a couple of days, your faith in your guru will be shattered.
Because he talks so much about the non-necessity of a guru. When you hear him continuously for some days, you will also feel, why not we also get on without a guru? We will lose faith in our own guru.
A lady devotee once went to Pandharpur. There she attended a discourse given by a famous sage. He said in the discourse, Ramdan is useless. You must take Vithoba's lead.
Even we go to hear different saints, they talk on a particular aspect. In this case, you were talking about Vithoba's name. There was no need to condemn the name of Ram, but he did saying that Ram Ram is useless, take Vithoba's name. But the lady who came or heard this discourse was very much upset because she was a votary of Ram Ram. She got very much disturbed. Then she came to Papa.
That acted on her. Her head became hot. She came here in utter confusion. She was weeping. I have no taste for food. I get no sleep. My faith in Ram Ram has been shaken.
Because she heard the saint talking about the glory of Vithoba's name and the no power of Ram Ram, or rather considering Ram Ram as useless, she got terribly upset because she had great faith in Ram Ram. This discourse really shook her. She became restless. She had, her head became heavy. In that condition, she came to Papa.
Ramdas kept her here for some days. He told her, Ramdas is all right.
Papa assured her that Ram Ram is perfectly all right. All names are equally powerful. Vithoba's name is also equally powerful. Ram Ram is powerful. So that way, consoled her, and she got rid of all her doubts and fears. She went back home and
we do not know in what light the saint said like that.
You see, perhaps she did not understand in what meaning that saint had made this remark.
Don't lose faith, otherwise you will be in trouble.
She was asked not to lose faith in Ram Ram. Losing faith means getting into trouble.
She then left us, and we do not know what happened afterwards.
This is what happens when devotees go and hear the discourses of many saints. Some are really advanced souls, some are realized souls, some are just on the path. They give different versions according to their own way of approach. Such lectures confuse the minds of the disciples or devotees. They get completely shaken when they are thus disturbed. So, it is better that we do not hear too many talks. If at all we hear, we must obey the instructions of our own guru and just hear what others say. That's all. We must accept whatever is helpful to us in our sadhana and ignore what is not helpful. We need not get upset because they are talking only from their standpoint. Our guru has told us from his standpoint for our benefit. We should take it that way and never get disturbed.
That is what you get by hearing so many.
That is the result of hearing so many lectures and talks.
Ramdas Your mind goes to pieces.
Mind goes to pieces. In the getting peace, it becomes turned to pieces.
One gives you faith, another settles it. Take one path suitable to you and pursue it.
That is, so when you go to your guru, take instruction from him and decide to follow that path sincerely. You may hear other lectures, but take only what is absolutely helpful to you and ignore the rest. You need not make any remark, condemn his speech or appreciate his speech. Whatever is helpful, you can accept.
Don't go here and there to hear what others say and get stranded. That is not the way.
Too many lectures, going to too many places and get stranded is not the way.
Ramdas is hard sometimes. He is hitting you because you are taking the spiritual question lightly.
It is the habit of many devotees. Perhaps they think they can advance soon on the path by hearing too many lectures. By hearing too many lectures but not practicing intensely. If they practice intensely, they have to hear only one advice from the guru. Instead of that, they try to hear all the lectures and discuss about them and come and talk to the guru also. That guru says by that, this guru says by that. So they take things lightly. Instead of that, if they practice intensely, they will be able to reach the goal. That practice, intensity of practice does not come because their aspiration is not intense. That is only excuse that can be given for that.
You are going about like butterflies.
You just fly about.
Devotee, everybody is here to realize God. We are serious about it.
That is what she says, as if he is representing all the devotees present there. Everyone here is for God realization and we are serious about it. If you ask them to raise their hands, only one or two will raise their hands. Others cannot say boldly that they want only God realization. Yes.
Papa, then you should follow Ramdas's teaching.
If you are after God realization only, then you must follow Papa's teachings.
If that is not done, what is the good of coming to this ashram?
If you don't do it, what is the use of coming to the ashram? You must listen to or accept Prabhupada's teachings and act up to them sincerely. Work hard towards reaching the goal.
You say, Papa, 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 and hang on to his person.
That is what happens. You go on saying, Papa, 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 and think that Papa is only this body. You hang on to this body. In this connection, J. Krishnamurti and ask his followers once, you are following your guru. It is just like you go to a signpost in the middle of a crossroad. It is written one side Madras, another side Bombay, another side Kerala. That shows that if you follow that road, you will reach that particular place indicated. Now, instead of going that way, you sit at the feet of the post and go on doing puja, looking upon the post as your guru. Will you reach in your destination? It is very hard. He puts it that way. Depending upon the personality of the guru, he is like sitting at the feet of the lamppost and worshipping, a signpost and worshipping. That much hard he was in his talks. But devotees really feel benefited even if they worship the form of the guru. Though at the same time they are asked to feel that the form is only a symbol of the supreme reality, which is real guru. So Krishnamurti should not be so hard. he is arbitrary. That is, he does not want any attachment to personalities. He was always talking about the highest truth. But at the same time, he should realize that there are different stages in worship. All cannot reach the top straight away. You have to go step by step, worshipping some forms. Then later on, understanding that form is not sufficient. You have to understand what that form represents, and then catch hold of the reality.
From highest standpoint,
exactly what he says is perfectly right. But he doesn't say how to reach that state. He talks about that state and he expects us to suddenly jump to that state. Somebody